The word abide, that's a strange word, isn't it? And yet we find it scattered throughout today's reading from the Gospel of John. 8 times we encounter this word abide in this very brief passage. The only other place that you will find this much abiding, well, that'd be the White House, wouldn't it? Oh, they laughed at the early service. We don't have an early service, do we? No. Now, abide is what I like to call a Bible word. It's a standard English word found in every dictionary, but it sounds archaic, doesn't it? We rarely encounter it in everyday use, and unless you're channeling your inner Shakespeare, I mean, when was the last time that you said abide in conversation? But as a Bible word, abide means to stay or remain with, to dwell, to live with. To abide means to immerse oneself wholly and completely in some pursuit or occupation. Now that might sound a bit excessive, but think about folk who become fully immersed in job or family or a hobby. If an athlete desires to reach the top, they've got to give everything. They must be able to abide in their commitment and their training. And what about those folks whose lives center around their favorite sports team? You know, that family that owns the bright orange Winnebago that travels to every UT game, no matter where it's played. They're the family that named their dog Nalen after the stadium. And they named their son Smokey. Now, we all abide in some way or another, choosing how it is that we will live, establishing our priorities. As Christians, the question that we must ask is, are we abiding in Jesus? And do we permit Jesus to abide with us? Now, the answer to that question is, well, it should be yes. Yes, I abide with Jesus. And me as a pastor, that should definitely be my answer. And it is, most of the time. Because if I'm honest, then I must confess that there are temptations and situations that pull me away to other pursuits. Our passage today comes to us from the Gospel of John. And of the 4 Gospels in our New Testament, the Gospel of John is by far the lengthiest. However, despite its size, this Gospel is missing something that we find in the other 3. And that is parables. Those wonderful teaching stories of Jesus. In John's gospel, there's no Good Samaritan, no prodigal son, no wedding feast, no hidden treasure, no lost sheep, no parables. However, what we do find in John's gospel are the I am statements. And these are about as close to parables as we're going to find in this book. And there are 7 of Jesus' I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the way. And in our reading for today, Jesus proclaims, I am the true vine. I am the true vine is a metaphor that Jesus employs to help his followers understand how they are to live their lives when he is gone. Jesus explains that he is the true vine. And by true vine, he means the main vine of the grape plant. And to fully understand what he's talking about here, well, we've got to talk about pruning. Mature grapevines have trunks that are 6 to 10 inches in diameter. And that plant emerges from the ground and then splits off into branches. Through the centuries, grape growers have figured out that to produce the best grapes, they've got to prune their grapevines. And this is normally done at the end of the plant's dormancy period, usually in late winter. And the most common mistake that people make is not pruning aggressively enough. Because light pruning, just snipping a branch here or there, doesn't provide adequate fruiting. That's the word they use, fruiting. Heavy pruning, on the other hand, that provides the highest quality and quantity of grapes. They're plump, they're sweet, they're mature. For a grapevine to produce new growth, it needs energy. And by pruning the excess growth, a grower can force that vine to route its energy into fruit production. With careful pruning, the plant will produce larger and sweeter grapes. It will be more fruitful. Now, the secret to pruning is that grapevines only produce fruit on wood that is a year old, wood that emerged the previous cycle. Buds on new wood produce flowers that develop into fruit. Buds that grow on the older wood produce only shoots or leaves. And a vine grower pruning his vine can expect to remove 70 to 90% of the previous year's growth each winter, pretty much cutting it all the way back. One of the challenges of pruning is being able to identify which vine on the plant is the central vine, as Jesus would say, the true vine. And then the vine grower's got to remove the lesser vines. And it's their job to remove any non-fruit-bearing branches. Branches that do bear fruit, they are pruned so that they will bear even more fruit. In our reading, Jesus presents himself as the true vine, with God as the vine grower. And Jesus' followers, they are the branches. And the branches that fail to bear fruit get sliced off. And those that do produce fruit, they get pruned. It sounds like everybody's going to get cut some one way or another. So what does it mean for to be fruitful? It means that if you're a grapevine, you produce grapes. Or if you're a tomato plant, you grow tomatoes. If you're a fig tree, you bear figs. Being spiritually fruitful is to fulfill what God has ordained for us. We don't bear figs or grapes or anything, but we can be spiritually fruitful. If the disciples are worried that they're about to be cut off because they haven't produced as they are supposed to, Jesus reassures them here that they've already been cleansed by the words that he has spoken to them. And in Greek, that word cleansed has the same root, no pun intended, as the Greek word for prune. So cleanse and prune sound pretty much alike. And the disciples, they've already been cleansed or pruned because they've heard Jesus' teachings. They've heard his word. And they are now ready to produce. And that should not just be a word of encouragement for the disciples, that should be a word of encouragement for all. How is it that we become fruitful? We follow the words of our Savior. This image of the vine, it's not meant to frighten. It's meant to comfort us, as we find when Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." There's a relationship between the branch and that central true vine. If you abide in me, Jesus tells them, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he says, spiritually, there's not much you can do. And Jesus warns, if you do not abide in me, you will be cut off. And thrown in the burn pile. But there's the promise. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father, he says, is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and you become my disciples. In other words, if we immerse ourselves in Christ, if we abide in Christ and his teachings, then we shall be fruitful. And by being fruitful, we will bring glory to God. To abide in Jesus is to have faith, to believe, to follow, to obey. To abide in Jesus is to live in a close, intimate relationship, like a branch growing on a vine. This passage that we read, it's a teaching to all the disciples, past and present. And Jesus may not be here with us in person, but we are connected to him like branches on a vine because we can abide with him. However, this proximity to Jesus does not mean that we can just hang around and do nothing. It's not like spring break where we just lie on the beach and soak up the sun. We are expected to bear fruit, what the Apostle Paul terms fruits of the Spirit. And if we don't, there will be judgment. But as branches connected to the vine, we are part of the body of Christ with all the rights and responsibilities thereof. Christians are meant to be connected to Christ and to one another. We function as Christians when we are connected through the vine. That's how God created us. There is much in our lives that we can abide in. We can abide in our jobs, in our pleasure, in our wealth, in our idols. Each of these may produce fruit, but none are the fruits of the Spirit. However, when we abide in Christ, then other parts of our life will become fruitful as well. We will find joy in our friends, our family, our work, and our play. And through these things as well, we will bring glory to God. As I mentioned earlier, on the grapevine, the dead wood is cut off, and the producing wood gets pruned. Everybody's going to feel some pain, but this pain is what pushes us forward to try new things, to serve in new ways. Complacency doesn't produce anything. Christ challenged his followers to bear fruit, and it is better to suffer the pain of being pruned than the pain of the fire. Jesus declares to his followers in this reading, "I am the true vine." And he says this not to frighten us, but to remind us that he's always with us and that we are connected to him. He's the vine, we are the branches, he is the body, we are the church. We are in communion with Christ. Over the past year, through this pandemic, most of us have felt as if we've been pruned, and pruned with a dull, rusty axe at that. And few of us will claim that this has been the best of times. We've all lost something. But now, thanks to the genius of science, we may be on our way back to normal. And so, as we enter in that transition, going back to normal, it is now a perfect time, isn't it, to reevaluate our lives and examine if what we are doing is truly fruitful. Does it bring glory to God? We need to examine not just our own lives, but the life of our church as well. It may be time to initiate our own little Protestant Reformation and reevaluate what we do and determine if we are truly bringing glory to God in all that we do. I have a feeling that we will find that there are some parts of our lives that we simply need to cut out. Or maybe we will discover something that we lost this year, just really wasn't all that important. One last thing. Being fruitful for God, it's not about quantity. We're not in a competition with one another to produce the most grapes. If your good works help the lives of thousands, then that is wonderful. But on the other hand, if you are only able to offer prayer and words of encouragement, then you will certainly glorify God by doing that, because you are doing your best, and God knows it. As the choir sang in their beautiful anthem this morning, "I am the vine, you are the branches, believe, you will be free." Be free. When we know that what we are doing glorifies God, then we are free. So your homework for this week is to set aside some time and sit with this passage. Reread it, study it, pray over it, and use it to evaluate how you're bringing glory to God. And whatever you're doing that's not bringing glory, cut it out. Amen.